job all the way around. Is that it yet? Good enough. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We'll be looking in the book of St. John, chapter number 8, if you'll find the place there real quickly. In St. John, chapter number 8. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. That's a good daily exercise that since the day you got saved, you ought to be exercising your lungs and your mind and your think. Every day when you wake up, how good it is to be able to know you're going to heaven. If you don't make it through the day or you don't make it through the night, that you've been saved by the grace of God, all right? In the book of St. John, chapter number 8, if you find the place you're able to stand, let's look there in verse 28. St. John, chapter 8, verse 28. And then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on the proof of your belief to the saving of your soul. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a whole lot of buzzing of the lips up and down the road about this event and that event that takes place. I have never doubt again, you know, some of these news commentators, they'll go out and they did just recently and ask people on the streets there in New York, did you know, now what is Easter about and what does it mean? They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. They knew how to connect it somehow or another with a long-eared bunny rabbit. Some of them got that much. But as far as what it meant, what it was for, they don't have a clue. Now, in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you find there's always been plenty of religious but lost people. Now, it's worse now than it was then. And evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived until the day of Jesus Christ. In the day we live in, you're going to find out, isn't it amazing? They're all worried about Budweiser beer losing a lot of sales over some of the woke movement. They ought to be put out of business. And let me tell you, that bunch of drunks and that bunch of country singing drunks that's boycotting it and all of that business there, they're going just as straight to hell. But I'm glad they've got enough something about them to be able to stand up and condemn that anti-God, Christ movement called the woke movement. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that Jesus is here dealing with a religious but lost agnostic crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees. In fact is, whenever he begins to tell them, he begins to talk about, as we just got through having Easter services, and we were preaching about the cross. Remember that? Jesus dying on the cross, buried in the tomb, resurrected again the third day. And according to the scriptures, that he might pay the sin debt for you and I, and yea, the sins of the world, and he won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. Well, that's what we're talking about here tonight. This is what Jesus was talking about here tonight in verse number 28. They wanted to argue with him. They didn't understand whenever he spoke about his relationship with the Father, that he came from heaven, that he came and him and the Heavenly Father are one. They didn't understand any of that. And Jesus began in the passage that we read, and then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In other words, you'll find that he's talking about the cross. He's talking about that he went to the cross. He says, I'm going to be going to the cross, and whenever I go and I am lifted up, you remember over there in St. John somewhere, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, let me tell you, I'll draw all men unto me. Now let me tell you what the preaching of the cross does in the way of the gospel. is that it has the drawing power of God upon a person's heart and life. See, in the day we live in, everybody just wants to bow their head, repeat a prayer, and leave out the drawing power of God. Do they believe in Jesus? Yes. But you better have something more than something mom and daddy taught you. You better have something more working in your behalf than your Sunday school preacher or your Sunday school teacher. You better have something, buddy, that comes from out of this world that enlightens you and shows you yourself like He sees you. I was working with an old boy one time. You'd have liked him. He was just a God-cussing heathen to who laid the chunk. But I remember years ago, and after I gotten saved, I used to try to witness to him and anybody else, you know, that listened long enough. And here's what he told me one day. And he said, "Dennis, I want you to know that I may die and go to hell, but I'll go to hell believing in Jesus Christ." There's a lot. And I said, "Well, you won't be the first one that did." Did you know that the Bible said, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well"? The devils believe that, and they tremble. They're not saved. See that? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, there's no two ways in ten about it. I'm glad to see somebody get saved. Every time they do, I rejoice with them and all that business. But you know what makes me rejoice more than just that moment coming down the aisle is see them walking with God 7, 8, 10 years later. See that? Then you got something real. I don't want to be bogged down, and I don't like to leave you too long. Whenever you get saved by the grace of God, we dunk them pretty quick, but we're not so desperate like some of the fellows that I've known in days gone by. Oh, yeah, I keep that baptistry full all the time. Soon as somebody gets saved, I march them down. We got clothes to change. I said, "Well, what in such a hurry to get them baptized for?" John the Baptist said, "Go and bring forth fruits meet for repentance, for I baptize you." He said, "Yeah, but in this neighborhood, they won't never come back if you don't get them while you can." Now, what kind of nut is that? What kind of preacher is that? You see what I'm talking about? What makes that man tick to where he thinks, "I'm going to help God out before they change their mind"? We're not talking about buying a car. Let me listen to it run one more time, you know. We're not talking about something that you can bargain with. We're talking about the divine touch of God and the holiness of God and the Holy Ghost of God working upon your heart and your life. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and you can quote me anytime you want to. There is no such thing as salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ being drawn by the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost of God performing it in your heart and in your life. And let me tell you right now is that you can't duplicate that. You can't replace that. You can't reassure that. Is that Jesus said that when I've been lifted up on the cross, you're going to know. And boy, they did know. Did it set the town in an uproar and quite a buzz? Yes, it did. Especially on Sunday morning when he had already gotten up and gotten out of the grave. That whosoever now believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was thinking about in this lesson that you're looking at is that whenever you look at this business here, it's those that have come to sit down and to reason with him. Now here's a crowd that didn't want to. And here's a crowd that started out. And here's a crowd that said they believed on him. Now he didn't just jump through a hula hoop backwards, did he? What he did do is say, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Now, you know, if what God starts, when God finishes in it, God starts it, he will finish it. And let me tell you, when he saves you and puts you in the house of God, he'll continue that work until the day that he comes again for you. I'm not amazed that I look out here and I see all of you that come time after time after time. In fact is, when you're not here, I want to know what's going on. Are you sick? Are you out of pocket, or out of touch, out of town? It's none of my business where and what you're doing, except for it is our business as a church to be able to be concerned one for another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another in the work of God. And let me tell you, I've got a lot of people that are kinfolks of mine and that are friends and acquaintances down through the year, and their testimony is sort of like this right here. "Hey, listen, are you going to church anywhere?" "Well, we hadn't been in a little while." And one of the wife or the husband will say, "In a little while, we ain't been 4 or 5 years." Now, I'm going to tell you something right now is, If you can do without God a year at a time, 6 months at a time, if you've got no more than that about you right now, you ain't got nothing. I got to tell you right up front, dear friend, when God saved me and he saved you, he put me in the house of God. You know, I come sometime when I don't even want to. Sometimes say, you know, well, you know, preacher, if I liked you better, I wouldn't mind it so bad. I don't like you much either. When it comes down to the work of God and the ways of God, I'm not coming because of you. I'm right where God wants me to be. Sometimes, you know, I've prayed in days gone by. And I've had various members in days gone by. Sometimes God removes them and takes them on out, and I'm sorry about that and all this and that. But they look better going than they did staying and all the ruckus they wanted to try to stir up. But I just want to tell you right up now is that there's been a time or two that I thought, man, I can't stand that person. I wonder if they despise me as bad as I do them. And then God would change my heart. And I'm glad he didn't listen to me. And then God may have changed your heart. And I'm glad God didn't listen to you. I will say to you that if you will, that if what you got's real and God started it, he'll finish it until the day he comes again for you. In fact is, Jesus said unto here, you continue in my word. Now, we've had some people, and I'm talking about in days gone by, I consider that are pretty good people. I know there's none good, no, not one, this and that. But I'm talking about some people that I hated to see go because I wasn't going to be able to preach to their kids anymore, their grandkids anymore, or them anymore. And let me tell you right up front is that I've seen some of them that left and went and got in a like faith Baptist church as much as they could and continued right on. But I can tell you something, I'm not talking about that kind of deal. What I'm talking about is people that got mad, that got crossways, and they got out there in the world feeding the flesh, running with the devil, and never darkened the house of God again. Something's wrong with that kind of person. See, something's wrong with that. I had a preacher friend one time. He was a likable guy. He hadn't been preaching very long. But he finally wanted to take a church, and he took one over there in Natchez, Mississippi. And he took an old church of a preacher that was named Stone, Marvin Stone. Boy, you'd like old Marvin. He had a fist about that wide, one fist. And buddy, he was tall, he was lanky. He'd say, all right, when I call your name, won't you stand up? And boy, he'd call this person's name, that person's name. And finally, one woman broke down with the crying, oh, Brother Stone, please don't. No, shut your mouth. I've already warned you about running that mouth and all that gossiping and all that backbiting. So I've already got you dead to right, so there ain't no need to argue now. And everybody that was standing, buddy, now you're dismissed. And, of course, you know, old Marvin, he had a full house all the time. He is rough as a cob. And let me just tell you right now, son, is that and of course, then this guy comes along. I'm going to take that church Marvin had. I said, well, good luck to you, son. I know we don't believe in luck, but you're going to need the Lord and luck and whatever else you can muster up. He had already been bad-mouthing old Brother Stone in days gone by. And then it wasn't long, and I'm talking about he hadn't been there for a couple of months, and he was calling me up and saying, man, they're doing this and doing that. I said, it looks like you're not as tough as old Brother Stone was that had been there for all them 20-some-odd years. Now you know why old Stone was that way. See, I'm going to tell you something. It don't make any difference, and that young man, and I've watched other young men. I know another fellow that was out of the same church that he trained in, and he took a church, and they met together and insulted, and he broke down, nearly about cried. He was a welder by trade. I'm talking about a man's man and all of that, and it destroyed him when they wanted him to get out of that church and not pastor them anymore. And I want to tell you what he did was he just went ahead and quit altogether and quit going to church, period. Something's wrong with that preacher. See that? if you live for God and walk with God and serve the Lord, do you know here that the biggest adversaries of Jesus Christ was right here? In fact is, he finally ended up having to tell them they were a liar, having to tell them the reason why you hate me, because my word hath no place in you, and since you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. And this whole chapter deals with that right there. And they wanted to take a cheap shot and said, well, at least we're not born of fornication. Try and take a cheap shot at Mary, who was a virgin when she conceived, so forth and on. Now, I got to tell you something. This is one of the most favorite passages that I like to use in verse 47. Jesus said unto them, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, that's what he's talking about in the passages that we're looking at. Jesus spoke to them and said that believed on him. They said, now, we believe on you. He said, well, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple? The proof of the pudding is the word of the Lord. And if you started out and fizzled out, you're not going to continue. See, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad I was able to be able to respond to him, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only to believe on him. And you know, the faith we've got, we've said in days gone by, it's not only given to you to believe. God gives you the belief to exercise in him, but also to suffer. And there's going to be a little suffering that goes along with it up and down the road of life. I got to say to you that whenever we look into these passages that are here, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I want to tell you, the Son of Man's going to, on the cross, he's gotten the attention of people, and if we'll exalt him and the cross where he paid the sin debt, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, the songwriter wrote down. And I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that when you and I come to the saving grace of God and get washed by the blood of the Lamb and born into the family, the proof of the pudding is, you won't start out and fizzle out, but you'll continue in his word. In the day we live in, and by the way, Brother Gullett, I asked how he was doing. I was going to mention him a while ago, and he said his wife had a couple of bad weeks, but was doing better this week and all of that. But let me tell you right now, whenever God's drawn you by the grace of God, whatever trial, whatever trouble, whatever heartache, whatever insult, whatever injury, whatever takes place, you'll continue in the word of the Lord. I've had some fellows that I know that was treated so badly in days gone by, I thought, man, if I was you, I'd throw up my hands and quit. But you know the reason why you can't? Same way Jeremiah couldn't. I wasn't going to say no more in the Bible. Every time I preach, I got in trouble, Jeremiah said. Ended up going there and being there in that dungeon, being fed with the bread and water of affliction and all that business there. And he said, I made up my mind, I'm going to say nothing else in the behalf of the Lord. And then you know what happened? He said, but it was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I could not restrain myself. I want you to close over there in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, turn there quickly. Chapter number 13, I'll give you a passage every moment to find it. I want to say that I'm glad that God's done something for us that we could never been able to do for ourselves. Jeremiah 13 is where we're going to be reading. And it's in about verse number 23 is where we're going to take up looking at. And here's what he says. The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Lord, you think you're going to change yourself? You can't change yourself no more than a leper could his spots or the Ethiopian his skin. And then he said, therefore will I scatter them as stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. And this is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Now I'm going to tell you, the closer the coming of the Lord gets, the fewer and fewer people that you're going to find that believe God and the Bible and that which is good, right, moral, and decent. They've got their own ideology of religion. And let me tell you, they don't want the Lord trying to shove them around and telling them what's right and telling them what's wrong. But make no mistake about it, religion's never been able to change a person's outward or inward condition. But the Lord can do that. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, is that the Bible said over in the book of Luke that the poor have the gospel preached to them. The brokenhearted are bound up. And whatever your condition is, I guarantee you God is more than adequate to be able to take care of that condition. And let me say to you that I'm glad to know that I'm His and that He's mine. And let me say to you that for 49 years now, He's ever been the same. Let me tell you, it don't make any difference how many battles you're having in your mind mentally. It don't matter what comes your way. It don't matter what throws you that way. Make no mistake about it. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. All right? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you for these men, these women, these boys and these girls that have come time after time that we might worship together in spirit and truth. There may be somebody that's not saved. May you save them for Jesus' sake. May you knock on their heart's door. May you draw them by thy spirit and the power of God. Now I pray you bless every family represented here. Be with those that could not be, in Jesus' name.